In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the lay of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lady Fatima,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray
for us. Saint Ignatius,
all
God's angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
So we're all rejoicing in the Lord, right? Rejoicing in the risen Lord. Think about this, if you were invited next week to have a meeting with John Paul II, and he was present with Mother Teresa, and they came along with Maximilian Kolbe, and Kolbe turned around and said, I present to you John Bosco. And John Bosco turned around and said, I present to you Saint Therese, Saint Teresa, and Saint Benedict of the Cross. And they turned around and said, here's Juan Diego. And Juan Diego said, I present to you Our Lady of Guadalupe. And all of them were present in that meeting that you're invited to by yourself. But you know, on the altar we have Jesus Christ. What a privilege. And the big problem for people like you as well as for priests is we can take him for granted. So I beg you, try not to take the Lord for granted. As mothers, you've been taken for granted at times. It happens. As spouses, sometimes you take your spouse for granted. It happens. Friends can sometimes take other friends for granted. You know, it's part of the fallen condition. But we should pray for the grace never to take the Lord for granted. Amen?
Amen?
This is really Jesus. The Curia of Ars, you've heard of him. He would say he's really present. He's really present. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. He's really present with tears streaming from his eyes. The Curia of Ars. That's why Fulton Sheen for 50 years would make his holy hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament. So try to cultivate deeper faith in the real presence. Okay, the catechesis of prayer is that, but one other thing. I'd like to talk two or three minutes about prayer of petition, what St. Thomas Aquinas says about it. Okay, the biblical foundation would be Matthew 7:7. Ask and you will receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be. Whoever asks, whoever seeks, whoever knocks, the door will be. Now, you know the Bible. You're catching up on the Protestants, okay? Little by little, huh? Okay, this is what Thomas Aquinas says. Prayer petition is an important prayer. And by petition, we're asking God. There's nothing wrong with that. And this is what Aquinas is. There are some graces and gifts that God's going to give to you whether you ask for them or not. For example, the fact that I was baptized as a little baby when I was only 25 days old, that's a pure gift of God. I didn't ask for it. God just gave it to me. It's called gratuitous. In Spanish, they say gratis. Okay? Gratuitous. God just gives. The nature of God is God gives. Okay, then other gifts, other things, I should say, we're not going to receive no matter how much we beg for what we're begging for. For example, I am never going to become a famous Los Angeles Laker basketball player. It's not going to happen, no? I'm not going to, you know, grow an extra foot and have muscles. And I could beg for that until I'm blue in the face. So there are some gifts that are going to be given to us. Others God is never going to give. But in between the two extremes, Aquinas speaks about what are called receiving on the condition that we do our part. Now, I'll give you an example. Have Lupe and Juan, they're praying for many special graces. But they're living together. They're living in free union. So they're storming heaven for something, and it's almost as if God is deaf. Then once they do get married, finally after living together for 10 years, finally they have their first child after 11 years, but they got married in the church, and they had their marriage blessed. So that was on the condition that they be converted. So, conclusion. The closer we are to God, and the more pure our heart, and the more pure our intention, and the more humble we are, the more ready God is to grant our request. That's why when we go to Mary and we place our petition in Mary's hands, Mary presents that to Jesus, we have our gift. So I think it's very important we understand that Thomistic interpretation of the prayer petition. Some things we're never going to receive. Others were received whether or not we ask for them or not. But then there's a lot of things that are on the condition that, can I word, say the word, that we be converted. Once our heart is more converted, then God is more ready to grant us our petitions, which are according to His will, of course. Amen? Okay. Our contemplation. Do you have your walking boots on? Now go to your room and get your walking boots, okay? We're going to take a walk. When was the last time you walked 7 miles? When was the last time you walked 14 miles? I walked 14 miles in New Hampshire about 3 years ago. No, I hit the hills in New Hampshire, no. I was tired afterward, no. That's exactly what we're going to be doing tonight. We're going to be taking a walk. So get your walking boots on. Maybe eat a granola bar before to get some energy. Maybe even a banana, huh? So we are going to be meditating upon one of my favorites, Luke chapter 24, the road to Emmaus. The road to Emmaus. So warm up to it. Place yourself in the presence of God. Say your Hail Mary. Pray the Holy Spirit. Pray for intensissimo gozo. Intensissimo gozo. What's that? Most intense joy. And then from that, go through the text. I'm going to highlight maybe 4 or 5 basic ideas, then I'll let the Holy Spirit do the rest, because the principle, the retreat master here is the Holy Spirit. Amen? He works very well, doesn't he? So we have 2 disciples. Jesus is going to appear early in the morning to His Blessed Mother, then Mary Magdalene. Then at night He'll appear in the upper room to the disciples behind the closed doors. And about, let's say, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, around then, He's going to be meeting 2 other individuals. So they're walking. They're walking away from Jerusalem. They're walking away from the church. Never do that. You have relatives and friends that have walked away from the church, have they? You never do that. Never do that. You make the church a better place by becoming saints. Amen? You become saints. It's the only way we're going to really change the world is when individuals like yourselves make a firm decision, I am going to try to become holy as God is holy. So they're walking and they are debating. Some interpretations actually will say they're quarreling among themselves over what happened a couple of days earlier. So they're fighting, they're quarreling, they're kind of confused, they're befuddled. And they are in a state of... Say it. They are in a state of desolation. Pretty deep desolation. And all of a sudden, this stranger, this pilgrim, comes out of nowhere. And he's walking with them. He's walking with them, he's listening to them. And as he's walking with them, listening, he says, "What are you talking about?" They say, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about Jesus Christ of Nazareth?" And he says, "Well, what things?" As if he didn't know what happened to himself, huh? And what they do is they open up and they talk. And they unravel a ball of confusion that is waging in their hearts. And they're just telling what they've heard, what they've seen, what the women have said. And they are just unloading all that has been happening within their lives. And this stranger is listening to every word they say. And this stranger understands them. And this stranger cares for them. This stranger is compassionate. Stranger seems to understand not only their words, but their very heart. In a word, they never met anyone that was a better listener than this man. And then, they didn't even know who this guy was. Okay, here's a question to bring in prayer. Have you ever failed to recognize Jesus in your life? How many times have you failed to recognize Jesus in your life? When he finally revealed himself to you, what was your response? Is Jesus with us now? So there's a lot to pray over. Now after these two men unload. Okay, by the way, do we know the names of these two disciples? Not Cephas. Cleopas. Okay, and the other one is you. You hear me? It's the very Ignatian, huh? Probably was St. Luke, okay, the commentators, but it's anonymous, and Ignatius would say, that's supposed to be you. You're walking. You're talking. You're opening up. You're unloading. You're venting. You're questioning. You're talking to the Lord. That's why we're here, to encounter the Lord, to talk to the Lord. And he always listens to you. He never gets tired of listening to you. Never. Did you ever get tired of listening to someone in your life? Hasn't happened yet in your life? Happens to me probably every day. And probably myself speaking to other people, I tire them too. But Jesus never gets tired of listening to us. How great is our God? How humble is our God? How merciful is our God? How thankful we should be that we have such a wonderful God who's so close to us, that He knows us better than we even know ourselves. And after He finishes listening, what happens is then He enters in to the conversation and He explains all of these biblical verses that refer to Him. The suffering servant of Isaiah. Psalm 22, which was a prophecy of the passion of Christ. All these verses in the Old Testament that were pointing to the coming of the Messiah, the suffering servant. And He is speaking, and they are totally captivated. Now, not only have these two men been with the best listener in the world, but they never met anyone that was able to speak like this guy. They never met anyone that was able to express himself with such clarity, sincerity, unction, and conviction. Never in their lives. So they are taken up. They're captivated by this stranger. Don't forget, they're walking 7 miles. They arrive at their destination. And what happens is this stranger, it looks like he has an appointment down the road. He's got someone to meet. You know? The town after Emmaus, what would that be? He's got someone to meet. Did he really? No. He wanted to be invited into their home. But he respected their freedom. This man es un caballero. He's a gentleman. He's not going to force himself into the lives of these people. He wants to be invited. Next question. Have you ever invited Jesus into your life? And here's another question. Has He ever knocked on the door of your heart and you failed to open up that door? Because maybe you were too busy. Revelation chapter 3, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Whoever opens up the door, I will sit down and sup with him and he will sup with me. Or have dinner with me. Any of you artists here? Holman Hunt? Holman Hunt has a wonderful depiction of what I just said from Revelation 3. You have the good shepherd knocking at the door. So he's knocking at the door, he's got his staff. And someone severely criticized him because there was no handle on the door. Someone said, how can you possibly paint a door? There's no handle to open up the door. And he defended himself and said, the handle is present, but it's only inside. It's only inside. Jesus can only enter into your home if you open up from inside your heart. He's knocking. So they arrive. And they say, stay with us, Lord. Stay with us, Lord. Because the sun is going down. Isn't that a beautiful prayer? Wouldn't it be beautiful if you would incorporate that into your own spiritual life, that you would start to say that prayer every day. Stay with us, Lord. Stay with us, Lord. Stay with us. The sun is going down. Beautiful prayer. Does he accept that invitation? Does he? So he enters in. Now, get in your contemplative mode. What do you imagine? Small house. Una casita. Little cottage, you know? Small house. Imagine the table. Table probably had some dust on it, I imagine. They probably had to dust it off a little bit. It's not big. Now imagine that there are chairs there. There are three chairs there. One for the stranger, one for Cleopas, and what about the last chair? Who's going to take it? I'm going to take it if you don't want it. You're very sheepish. Very shy. I'll take that chair right away. I'm going to take that chair. So they sit down at table. You've been sitting down at table for a long time. At the Last Supper, at the wedding feast of Cana. Huh? Here's another table. You should call this the table retreat, huh? And then the stranger, apparently they have a little bit to eat. So there's some bread. Now what happens with this bread? The bread is the noun. Now you're going to have four verbs used in the present tense. Okay? You know, takes the bread. He blesses the bread. He breaks the bread and he gives the bread. So let's take those four verbs in the present tense. So he takes, it's all on the bread. He takes the bread, blesses the bread, breaks the bread. We're playing charades tonight, okay? We're playing a little bit of charades to keep you awake, okay? You ever play charades? Okay, here's. Gives the bread. Did you ever hear those words? How about Father Alex, Father, the four priests here, did you ever hear those words? Have you ever say those words? I've been saying those words every day for 31 years. How about that? Those are the words we say every time we celebrate Mass, right? Could it be that Jesus was celebrating the second Mass? What do you think? Traditional Catholic interpretation says there's Jesus celebrating the second Mass. Then after that, what happens is he disappears. But did he really disappear? He disappeared in his physical presence, but he remained in His sacramental presence, in the bread of life. But what happened is, before he disappeared, their eyes were open, and what happened? They recognized him in the breaking of the bread. That's what we said at the beginning of the talk. Don't forget that the bread of life is here. That bread of life that we're talking about 2,000 years ago in Emmaus, Jesus is looking at you right now with great love. Every one of you, you've gotten through almost 8 days of retreat. Jesus is looking at you with great, great love. This is the risen Lord. And He wants to fill you with incredible joy and peace. Then they get up. Now, imagine, Martha and Lefty, you know, we're walking 7 miles. Wouldn't you maybe want to take a rest and maybe walk the 7 miles after getting a good rest? What do you think? I think most of us would probably say, well, I'll get a good meal, I'll go to bed, and I'll get up and I'll do the 7 miles after having a good night's rest. Amen? I think that's probably what we would do. They didn't. They were filled with so much joy that they couldn't keep it to themselves. So they got up and they returned and they were flying. When they started walking, they were walking like this. When they were returning, they were flying. They couldn't keep this joy to themselves. They arrive at Jerusalem, and they say, we met Jesus Christ in the breaking of the bread, and as He explained the Word of God to us, were not our hearts burning within us? Our hearts were burning within us. You know what you have here? You have the whole dynamic of Ignatian discernment. You've got desolation and consolation. They start out in desolation. Why? Because they were walking without Jesus Christ. No matter what you do in your life, if you walk without Jesus Christ, even though you might be a multi-billionaire with everything in the world, you're not going to be happy. You're not going to be happy. Then once Jesus starts to walk with them and listen to them and talk to them, then this cloud of dissipation, this cloud of desolation, it dissipates. It disappears totally. And the consolation gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Then they arrive at the house and He takes bread. He breaks the bread. He gives it to them. He disappears. Now their hearts are on fire. And their hearts are so much on fire that they can't keep it to themselves. They have to go back and share it with the others. Did you notice that this disciples on the road to Emmaus passage is a miniature mass. It's a little mass. Because when they're walking, what are they doing? They're listening to what? They're listening to the Logos. Who's the Logos? They're listening to the Logos as Jesus Christ explained the Word of God to them. And the more they listen, the more they're filled with joy. That is the liturgy of the word. When they arrive at the house, what happens? He takes bread, he blesses the bread, he breaks the bread, and he gives the bread. That's the liturgy of the Eucharist. And then when they leave, it's the blessing and it's the sending off to be missionaries. That is the whole thrust of this retreat we've had for 8 days. The first part, walking and talking with Jesus Christ, is your holy hour. The second part is the holy sacrifice of the Mass that we celebrate every day of our lives. So if we want to experience consolation, which is true joy in our lives, we have to understand this passage of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. We have to understand it, not simply in our minds, but in our hearts. To really experience the joy, the intense joy that we're begging for. We're begging for intense joy as we end this retreat. It's not over yet, though. Is we have to walk with the Lord. We have to listen to the Lord. We have to talk to the Lord. We have to invite the Lord. We have to sit down at the table with the Lord. We have to receive the Lord into the depths of our hearts. And most important is we have to love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But this love, burning within us, we can't keep it to ourselves. We have to give the love of the risen Lord Jesus Christ to the whole world. So let's beg the Blessed Virgin Mary that we would truly experience joy. A joy that only Jesus Christ can give to us. Please stand. Regina Caeli, laetare, alleluia. Quia, veneruis deportare, alleluia. Resurrexi, sicut dixit, alleluia. Ora pro nobis Deum, alleluia. This is the day the Lord has made. Happy Easter and have a great night.